thing you said, but I agree with it. So, amen. 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to tell you what Elizabeth Taylor told her seventh husband. I won't keep you long. All right. I'm not planning on it, at least. That's the fun thing about coming to a new church is I get to use all my jokes. And after next week, you'll hear them all. Oh, boy. Oh, I appreciate everybody here. We've had a fun day. I don't know about y'all. It's been a fun day. And I really like what Pastor Turner said earlier. He said the acrostic for saint is Sunday afternoons is nap time. I like that. And we got a good nap today. You ever had a nap so good that you wake up thinking you missed the school bus, but it's Saturday and you ain't gone to school in years? That's how kind of nap I had today. And it was a good nap. And so at Payson, we do a Sunday school, Sunday morning, a meal, and then an afternoon service. And they've been doing that for years. And when I pastored in Colorado, we did that. And so, and we only did that because we had people that drove 100 miles for church. And that's kind of how we had to do it. Same with Payson, those folks that drive 100 miles for church. And so that's the routine. And so it's going to take me a little adjusting to get used to a Sunday night. But what I like about a Sunday night is that good Sunday afternoon nap. And so praise the Lord for it. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I want to show you something that a pastor showed me going on maybe 8 or 10 years ago. Maybe at least 10 or 12 years ago. And I've never forgotten it. And I want to share it with you because I think it's helpful. Well, what I could have titled it this. I like taking my titles from the text. And so the title's in the text. But we could have titled this, How to Pray for Your Church, How to Pray for Your Pastor, and How to Pray for Your Missionaries. But we're going to title it, how Paul words it, Finally, Brethren, Pray for Us. So if you're able, let's stand out of reverence to the Word of God. And if you can't stand, you can reverence the Word of God sitting. But we'll just read four verses tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And yet we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have this confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Let's pray together. Father, help us as we have opened your word, we've read your word. Now I pray that what we just read would be true. Would you let your word have free course here tonight? Would we remember these things that we may be able to obey your word? And I pray that you would use this time, that it be beneficial for the saints, that it be encouraging, and that we could know how to effectively and scripturally pray for one another. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Be seated, please. So, you may have noticed, I think I did it when I prayed this morning here at the church. I don't remember when I do and don't do it because I've tried so much to make this a pattern in my life that when I pray, I like to pray Scripture. There's something about praying Scripture. You know, I don't write down prayers. I pray like I talk to the Lord. I actually believe I'm talking to a living God. Amen. Jesus really died. He's really alive. And I just talk to Him. Sometimes I say, Lord, I know who the idiot is in this conversation, and it's not you. Sometimes I'm that honest with Him because He is a living person we can talk to. But we have to have reverence, of course, when we speak to Him. He's a holy God. And I like praying like David prayed in Psalms 139. He says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. You know my thought afar off. You're acquainted with all my ways. You know my uprising and my downsetting. Everything about me you already know. That's a great way to really start off praying is, Lord, you already know everything wrong with me. I can't hide it from you. You know everything. And you can be brutally honest with God because He already knows what you're going to say before you say it. In fact, right now the Bible says that Jesus Christ is making intercession on our behalf. He already knows, even with groanings that cannot be uttered, even when you don't know what to say, He knows what you're feeling. I mean, when you're about to hit a deer, you don't say, oh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with your hands up just so, as you pray. You say, oh, Lord, help me. Hopefully that's what comes out when you're about to hit a deer. Hopefully that's something else. But the Lord knows quickly what you're trying to say. So I like praying Scripture. Psalms 139 is a great prayer. There's a lot of scripture you can pray. This one is extremely important because this is how you can pray for North Rock Baptist Temple. It's how you can pray for Pastor Turner. It's how you can pray for me. It's how you can pray for all the missionaries on the board, all the other churches you know that are staying faithful by the book. Here's how you can and should pray for them. Here's how Paul asked the church in Thessalonica. Here's how he asked them to pray for him as he's on his evangelistic journey. He says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." Did you know that not every church has as much liberty as this church? Have you ever been to a church that was dead? I mean dead. I have. In fact, I don't encourage all to go visit other churches as far as missing this church, but if you're ever on vacation or something, know what you really ought to do? Go find you some dead church, and you'll be so thankful for this one when you do. I enjoy going to a dead church because there's two things that make me feel like preaching: good preaching and bad preaching. And I always make that joke when I preach to somebody else because I say, two things make me feel like preaching: good preaching and bad preaching. And after that message, I sure feel like preaching, and never tell them which one it was. But that's supposed to be funny, okay? But if you've ever gone to those churches that are just dead, I mean, it's just a routine. The Holy Spirit could not be within 100 miles. They wouldn't even know it. It's just dead. There's people there just to punch their time clock and go home. And they don't know what the preacher said or what he didn't say. He could have talked about making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and they wouldn't know the difference. But then I've also been there where I'm the guy preaching, and I'm trying to just preach the word, and you can cut the tension with a knife. There's just, you can't get your words out, and maybe when you are, everybody's doing this, and they're not paying attention at all. That's a challenge. And there's times that good churches even have bad days. I mean, we've all been tired, and sometimes just it's an off day. We're human. But I don't think I have to explain the difference. I think y'all understand what I mean by churches that have liberty, churches that don't. Thankfully, this church has got a lot of liberty. It's easy to preach here and thank the Lord for it. So you know what we ought to do? Pray for other churches. Pray for the missionaries that's being supported. Pray for the work that the other places would have the same kind of liberty there that we experience here. Now, it ought to be that we can do that. If we're going to pray, "Lord, I pray for our missionary, John Doe, whoever he may be. I pray that he has as good of a Sunday as we're having today." That you can only pray that if we're having a good Sunday and if we have liberty here. So obviously this type of prayer can only be done by a healthy church. If you can't pray, I pray that our missionaries have a day like we do today. Then we need to ask the Lord, why aren't we having liberty here? Now, what are you praying for specifically? You're praying for the word of the Lord. Did you know that you're told here to pray for your Bible? The Bible doesn't need to be rewritten. It just needs to be reread. And it just needs to be preached. But sometimes you say all the right things and they're not getting it. They're not hearing it. So you literally are praying, "Lord, let your word have free course." I mean, in a couple of weeks as we get moved, y'all are going to meet not just Leland and Liberty, our children. You'll meet our ferocious hound dog. And I say ferocious jokingly. His name is Bailey. He's half blue tick hound, half black lab. He is lazy. Lazy, lazy, lazy. When you first come up to him, he'll act happy to see you, and after 5 minutes, it's like, "Okay, leave me alone." He goes and lays down. He's lazy. But there's one way to get him energized, and that's if he can just run free. And you get him loose, he's going to have a blast. He is just going to run. Why? Because he's got free course to run. And the preaching ought to be that way. It's good where you know you can just go wherever you need to go in the preaching. Sometimes you get up to preach and it's like, "Okay, I'm going to preach here, but I need to follow my notes and follow the text because I know I can't talk about this because so-and-so will get mad, and I can't talk about that because so-and-so think I'm talking about their mother's cousin twice removed's neighbor." You know, you sometimes feel pressure that you can't say what needs to be said. It ought not to be that way. It ought to be that we can say whatever needs to be said. And it's not always that way. But here, we're told to ask the Lord that His Word would have free course. Now, we're not praying, Lord, let the preacher have liberty to say whatever he wants to say. We're praying, Lord, let your word have free course. In other words, let the liberty that we have is found within this book. Somebody said, well, you're narrow-minded. You're right about this narrow.
Amen.
This is how we're bound by this book, where we're bound by it. We don't get to go outside of the book or between the lines. We're stuck by this book. And I believe every word of this book. Even reminds of genuine cowhide. I believe that. I believe the book. And so we're praying, Lord, let your word have free course among us and be glorified. That word glorified is kind of like the light is shining, we're exalting it. In a sense, you have that example here. This is a first edition picture of a 1611. This is an actual page, isn't it? An actual page of a first edition 1611 King James Bible. You notice this is not down in the broom closet. We're kind of glorifying this piece of Scripture, aren't we? Because that's a special piece of Scripture. It's the Word of God. And so that's why it has a glorified spot. There's a light. There's a beautiful frame. We want people to see this because that's the Word of God. And that's how we ought to treat the Word of God. It ought to be glorified. The Word of Lord must be glorified. Did you know not everybody treats the Bible the same way you and I treat it? I've been talking to people about the Scripture before and had them spit on my Bible, not this one, a different one, while I'm talking to them about the Bible. They spit on my Bible because they don't respect it at all. And that's sad. But you and I ought to respect it. I'm not going to ask you how much you read your Bible because, you know, the Bible doesn't tell you. You have to read this many pages, although there's nothing wrong with that. I know some pastors that really encourage people to read 5 pages a day, 10 pages a day, whatever. Those are good. Some people need that structure, but just read it. That's the main thing. Be reading the book. This ought not to just sit on the dash of your truck and you don't touch it again until next Sunday. It ought not to be a place that's just collecting dust. It ought not to just be thrown on the bookshelf next to a bunch of fictional books, but this ought to have a special place because it's the Word of God. We talked to a man at lunch today about the Bible, saying, you know, it's the only book, every time you read it, it reads you.
Yeah.
It's a powerful book, written over several hundred years, by over 40 different men on three different continents, not one contradiction. This book is perfect. People say, well, it's got contradictions. Show me one.
Yeah.
Show me one. There's not a single contradiction. This is a precious book, and it ought to be glorified. And so we ought to be able to pray, Lord, help our missionaries. Help our church to be a place where the Word of God is not bound. In fact, the Bible says the Word of God is not bound. We don't have to make it this way. God does. God glorifies His Word. He has put His Word above His own name. That's what the Psalms tell us. So that's how precious the Bible is. So the first thing we can do to pray for the pastor, pray for God's servants, pray for this church is, Lord, as we're meeting today, would you let your word have free course and be glorified? That's a great thing to pray. Pray that for us, for our missionaries, for our friends. I mean, I talked to a pastor friend today down in Council Grove, Brother Billy Krieger. He's a dear friend. And Lord willing, he's going to be here next Sunday preaching at North Rock while we're driving back. He'll be here next Sunday, Lord willing. If you've not met Brother Billy, he's a good friend. It's a good thing to think. Lord, help. I think his church, is it Berean Baptist, do you know? I think Berean Baptist in Council Grove. Lord, help Brother Billy at Berean Baptist in Council Grove. Would you let the word of the Lord have free course there and be glorified? That's a good thing to pray. But then there's one more request. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. I'm going to let you in on a little secret, if you didn't know. Did you know that not everybody is a Christian? Sometimes I think we forget that. We see what's going on in the world and we act shocked. This is not a Christian nation. The majority of this country hates God, hates Him, despises Him. So when we pray, Lord, let your word have free course and be glorified, there's one more thing to add, and would you deliver us from unreasonable wicked men? Did you know you never know what's going to walk through that door? Who or what's going to walk through that door? You have no idea. There's so much evil out there, you have no idea, but the Lord does. And don't you think He wants to protect His church? Of course He wants to protect His church. There's been many times, I mean, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread, but you do realize there have been many Christians that have been burned at the stake. Many who have suffered and been starved and drowned and beaten just for believing the Bible, what you and I believe. Many people in the world today, in 2023, they went to church today and risked being arrested for doing it. We got a little taste of that in 2020, didn't we? I mean, I never in my life was getting ready for church thinking, boy, I hope no one calls the cops on us today. I mean, we did the same thing y'all did. We just kept having church. We just obeyed the Lord rather than man, and God protected us. But we sure did a whole lot of, Lord, would you deliver us from unreasonable wicked men? Because there's people out there that hate God and hate this church. There's people that would love to see this church shut down. They would love to see God taken out of the picture. They'd love for this building to be a dance hall or an antique store or a thrift store. They'd love to see a lot of things happen here because there's some people that just hate God. And so we have to pray, Lord, deliver us from unreasonable and wicked men. Now, ultimately, I think it's safe and smart for us to protect ourselves. I mean, we lock the doors of the church, don't we? You lock the doors at your home. You take measures. I have two very good brethren, Mr. Smith, Mr. Wesson, that are with me all the time. I mean, even when I go to church, I bring my brethren with me, because by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. And so if Mr. Smith, Mr. Wesson stay with me, you say, why? Shepherd protects the sheep. You protect, but ultimately I know God has to protect this church.
Yes, sir.
God has to protect my family. God has to protect us. So we should not take for granted that He just will. We should trust Him enough to ask Him, Lord, would you deliver us from unreasonable and wicked men? For all men have not faith. When we meet together every Lord's Day, every time we meet, every Thursday, say, Lord, let the word of the Lord have free course among us today, be glorified, and deliver us from unreasonable wicked men. That's a 10-second prayer. Isn't that easy? You say, well, I don't have time to pray for everybody. Paul talks about making mention of people in your prayer. You know that you could just simply make mention of the missionaries just by name. You don't have to pray a whole 20-minute prayer for each of them. You mention their name, and that's what Paul did. How would you like to have your name mentioned by the Apostle Paul when he's praying? I'd be glad of that. John tells us this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. I'm just glad He hears me. And when He hears me, I can mention it and just trust He heard me. So pray for the church, pray for the pastor, walk through the wall, look at all the missionaries on the wall. Lord, and even if you got 10 seconds and that's all you got, just look at the missionary wall and say, Lord, all of our missionaries, you know them, would you just bless them today? Let the word of the Lord have free course among them and glorified as it is here, and deliver us from unreasonable wicked men. See how easy it is to pray that. You say, now why should we pray this way? Here's why. So, think about it. Every problem that we can have as a church, that our missionaries could have, every problem that we're ever going to face fits in one or two categories. Either God's people ignoring God's word, or lost people trying to hinder God's work. Every problem. Every problem. Pastor Turner, you've been here 12 years, wasn't it, as an assistant, as the pastor? Would you agree every problem you've ever faced is because God's people didn't obey God's word, or lost people tried to stop God's work? And you see how this prayer touches both categories? When we're praying, Lord, let the word of the Lord have free course among us and be glorified, you know what we're asking Him to do? We're asking Him to speak to each and every heart here this evening, asking that God would work and speak to them, and that they'd be obedient to God's word, that it be glorified. Not just that the word of God, that everybody would hear it. You've all heard the word of God tonight. But would you glorify it and say, yes, Lord, I'll do that. There's an old song we used to sing, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'm almost scared to make people sing, Have Thine Own Way, or I Surrender All, because I don't want folks to lie. I thought about crossing out in the hymnal to, I surrender most. Because I don't want you to lie. I hope when we say, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. I hope we mean that. And when we say, yep, that's the word of God, we believe it, then I hope we really do. So that's what we're praying for. Let the Word of God have free course and be glorified, and deliver us from unreasonable wicked men. You're touching both categories. That God's people would follow God's Word, and that God would protect His people from those that hate God's Word and hate God's work. Now you see why this type of prayer is so important. So in your own way, would you make this a practice in your life? You say, do I have to quote it verbatim? No, I just figured God said it well enough, I'm not going to reword it. He said it so well. I make this a habit. You'll probably hear me pray this a lot because I have found that God's way works. So Lord, let your word have free course among us and be glorified. Help our missionaries that they have free course and be glorified as it is here. And deliver us from unreasonable wicked men, and deliver them from unreasonable wicked men, because we know not everybody has faith. Why? Verse 3 and 4 is the closing. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. God's the one that's going to establish us and keep us. He'll protect us. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. To me, Paul is speaking as what we call a missionary, an evangelist. He is simply saying, we're really relying on the Lord to remind you to pray this way. We need God's people praying for us. I mean, name a missionary who would say, yeah, we really don't need you to pray. We got it figured out. No. If that's what they say, then they need to go. I mean, Rusty was saying it earlier. He said, every time you get up here, you're nervous, right? Yeah. And if you get up here and you're not nervous, you shouldn't be up there. I mean, all we're doing is dealing with matters of life and death, heaven and hell, and God's Word. That ought to put a little fear in you. You ought to be careful with God's Word and God's people. We don't want to lead people astray. And so there ought to be a holy fear about it, and there ought to be a confidence. We'll have to get it. I think my mother-in-law's got it. I might have a copy somewhere. Somebody made a little calendar of how you can pray for your pastor. And it's got 31 boxes representing each day of the month. And each day gives you a different thing to pray for. One day would be his health. One day would be his finances. One day would be his personal walk with the Lord. One day would be his family. One day would be his study time. One day would be his temptations. One day would be his emotions, that he keep his emotions in check. His prayer life, his scripture reading. And it just reminds you. You put it on your refrigerator. And every time you go to get a snack, you look and say, well, Lord, help our pastor today for this. And I, you better believe I'm going to be getting that and handing those out, because I want people to pray for me. Amen. And you could pray that for everybody. We need to pray for each other. And that's why Hebrews tells us not forsaking the assembly of yourself together, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. I hear that so much the more, and so many people think that means we got to go to church more. I think what it's really saying is it's so much more important now than it used to be. Yeah, it's never been more important for us to be together, to encourage one another, to provoke one another to good works, and to pray for one another. Well, Jesus went into a temple and flipped the tables over because it was all about the money instead of a house of prayer. I wonder what Jesus would do if he walked into the normal independent Baptist church today. I bet, well, he's probably never been there before to a lot of them. Everybody okay? Yeah. He's never been to a lot of them. But I guarantee you, if it's not a house of prayer, it's not a church. Jesus in my house would be called a house of prayer. And if we ever get to the point that we're too big to talk to God, then we're just too big. This ought to be a place where we can pray. And these scriptures just taught you how you can do it. And if you'll learn this, you'll find it'll help. We need to pray for the pastors, for the missionary, for this church, for other churches, because it works and it covers every problem we could face. So I hope you'll memorize these scriptures. You got them there, mark it in your Bible. Work on memorizing those first two verses. It doesn't take long. And make it a habit. I know the Bible says to avoid vain repetitions, but praying scripture is not vain. So learn to pray God's Word. Learn to repeat this. It's not a vain thing at all. We're just praying the living words of God. So let's learn to do that. Let's pray together now, and then I'll turn it over to Pastor Turner for everything else needs to be done here tonight. So let's do what we just talked about together, shall we? Father, would you help us all to learn this? I'm so grateful that you use a servant of yours to teach me this. And I know many that have learned this valuable lesson of learning how to pray scripturally and really to pray intelligently. This is such a wise way that you instructed the Apostle Paul to teach churches to pray. And we know we have to learn. We know that your disciples asked you to teach them to pray as John taught his disciples. So we're asking you, Father, would you continue to teach us how to pray? And we're grateful for the little bit you taught us tonight. Would you help North Rock Baptist Temple to be a place where the word of the Lord has free course and is glorified? And would you deliver us from unreasonable wicked men? I pray that would be true till Jesus comes. For the other churches in this city that take a stand for the truth, would that be true for them as well as it is here? For our missionaries, for fellow churches that are like-minded, would you allow this to happen? I'd even say, Lord, for the churches in this town that we wouldn't agree with, would you let the word of the Lord have free course there? Paul said that if Christ is preached, what then? I rejoice in that. So, Lord, I pray you'd use your word and even the churches we wouldn't agree with. Because this is so much bigger than North Rock Baptist Temple. This is about Jesus Christ. So would you work in all the places that claim the name of Christ in this town? Would you do a great work for your glory? And would you do something so wonderful that no man can take the credit for it? So we ask God, deliver us from unreasonable wicked men. Protect us and bring us back at the next point in time. Would you be glorified in what we do? And may we learn how to pray, how to live, how to act in accordance to your word. Because we ask this all in the name above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.